All right. Hello, world. My name is Don, and you are watching Showcase for the week ending Sunday, 3/26/2022. Stop the pressure. This is our Sunday show, and once again, that is your headlines and your live chat comments. With me tonight, once again, is my very good friend and colleague, Mr. AJ. How are we doing tonight?
Doing pretty good.
Awesome, awesome. So, yeah, for those just joining us right now, AJ is a new addition to the show. This is his second show with us, basically. He already participated with a Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 stream that we did kick off this weekend on Friday night. I guess it looks like he managed to take a break from taking out some noobs and whatnot, basically, to be able to... Wow, that was the most dad joke kind of thing. Not even a joke. It was the most dad-sounding way to phrase that. Anyway... just set the time aside to be able to participate in this, so thanks for joining us. What is that? Oh, you have your... Oh, my goodness. Nice. You got prepared.
Oh, yeah. You're going to have to awesome. Be able to read the words.
There you go. Facts, facts. Okay, control, we can kill the music now. Thank you. Okay, now, let's go ahead and get rolling into our weird news headlines, but first... Don't forget to hit that like button and subscription bell. And as always, if you're with us live here on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, or Facebook, drop us a line in the live chat and we just might read it off on the air. So let's go ahead and get rolling with our first order of business. There we go. All right, now we're cooking. So first topic of the week comes to us from yankodesign.com. This is something. A 43-inch screen laptop. Portability, proving bigger is not always better, is the collective headline. This was first published on the 25th, it looks like. While most of us purchase a laptop for its portability, on the other end of the spectrum, efforts are being made to create a computing machine that is a behemoth just for the sake of creating such a gadget, or you can say, going by the notion, bigger is better. We saw a humongous 17.3-inch display laptop by Lenovo at the Consumer Electronics Show 2023 with an eye-popping 2110 ultra wide aspect ratio. Good grief. Even Razer created an 18-inch screen laptop recently. Let's just hold off right there. AJ, what's your first reaction to this?
I mean, that laptop looks absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it's basically like if I took the TV from my mantle and put it in my lap. That looks like it hurts too.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, if I didn't know that this wasn't Disney doing the most ingenious and creative promotion for Ant-Man 3 ever. You know, because this looks like some PIM particles were like behind the, you know, brought to you by PIM Technologies. That's what this looks like to me, basically.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Just offhand. Good grief. Look at this thing.
My God.
That's crazy. I mean, it looks like it can run Elden Ring, it looks like, I guess, judging by the screen. I think that's Elden Ring that's showing on there. Let's see. 43-inch display, which should put even your desktop setup to shame. YouTube creators Evan and Caitlin bloated up the perception of the visual world we're accustomed to. Let's see. This laptop is by no means portable and nowhere near lightweight, weighing 100 pounds.
Jeez.
Wow. Holy crap. Well, AJ, do you think this is something that you would ever use or anybody you know might see themselves using or, I guess, pranking somebody with, like, replacing their computer?
Oh, see, now that would be hilarious. But, I mean... 100-pound laptop on my desk, it would either break it in half or I don't know what. And I mean, is there like a giant mouse that goes with it? I mean, okay, I'm gonna be honest,
that's gonna be the next build.
Next build. Oh yeah. It looks like a nice, I mean, it looks like it could stream some good Netflix or watch some good YouTube videos, but when it comes to doing your homework, I'm pretty sure that's not going to be helpful.
Yeah, probably not, unless you have like a lot of like vision issues or something. You would need that big of a screen, and the magnifier app on Windows isn't enough. But anyway, okay, so noted. We'll I guess file that under odd, but all right, not quite weird. We're just sort of warming up. It's only the first 5 minutes. We got plenty more topics to go. Let's see. Next topic comes to us from Electrek. Weird Alibaba. Okay. Oh, this is from Alibaba, I guess. This must be a subsidiary or like where they're outsourcing the topic from, I guess, maybe. This one-person electric helicopter is terrifyingly awesome. Okay, so now we're going from technology that's usually small being made really big to now we have technology that's usually really big being made really, really small. Again, PIM particles, it looks like.
Oh, yeah. Looks like a Mr. Beast thumbnail.
Actually, yeah, it does come to think of it. I think we have a thing popping up in the comments feed. Let's see. Control, can we go ahead and keep a can we keep an eye on that and try to pull in the Okay, thank you. This is from Ms. D. That is crazy. I wouldn't call a 100-pound portable at all. Yeah, that's an, again, definite facts there, running away. But yeah, so let's see. Back to this thing. It's not a helicopter. It's a multi-rotor, a quadcopter, perhaps, a drone. VTOL, this stands for vertical takeoff and landing, for those who don't know. Whatever it is, it's a piloted flying machine, and you can actually buy one from China. It's scary, it's wild, and it's this week's entry in the awesomely weird Alibaba electric vehicle of the week. At a price of, I'm skipping ahead a bit, at the price of $78,000. Wow. This is an expensive way to risk your life, but at least shipping is cheap, coming in at just $618. Oh, pocket change. Pocket change. Weighing just 242 pounds, it has a payload capacity of up to 220. Okay, AJ, your thoughts.
As you said, 16, 618 for, shipping. I mean, that's under the mattress money right there. I could just reach over here into my magic satchel and pull that out. But honestly, $78,000 for a very quick and possibly very painful death. I mean, it seems
Well,
worth
unless you really, really know what you're doing and you can sort of George Jetson yourself between home and office in a way that completely sidesteps traffic. I mean, it's been a long time since I've been in California, but it's my understanding the 405 is still, well, the 405. So it stands to reason. I don't know. It is a pretty penny, but I wouldn't trust my own flying skills with my own life. I don't think.
There's not even a handle. There's no steering wheel. I visibly can't see it.
Exactly. It's
Which
2023. Shouldn't there be a button on here to make this thing fold up into a briefcase or something? I mean, Hanna-Barbera lied to us.
Oh,
Jeez, what is this?
definitely.
I don't know. Anyway, let's move on. Next topic comes to us from MSN. This is under the category of Science Alert. This weird-looking fungus could be a biodegradable alternative to plastic. Okay, I guess we're filing this under educational, I suppose. The tinder fungus. Tinder fungus? Okay, I guess we're gonna swipe on that. Has some surprising properties scientists have discovered. Properties that could enable it to provide a natural biodegradable alternative to certain plastics and other materials in the future. And I guess that's Mr. DeVille, I'm ready for my close-up kind of shot here.
Looks like a Pokemon.
What would the name of this Pokemon be? If this actually was a Pokemon, before we go ahead and move on, what would this be called?
Let's see. That's an excellent question. Maybe like fun. It has to be something fungus related. So maybe like fun guy, spelled, fun and guy, GUY, most likely. Be like a grass and ground type. I can see
I'm betting it. I agree with the type. It definitely would be a
that.
grass or grass and ground together. Unless, of course, I'm trying to think. Is there such a thing as a three-way type? Like, because I can see this being a grass, ground, and poison, to be honest.
With Terra typing, there is the new thing that they introduced in the new generation. But
Really? Huh.
yeah.
Interesting. Well, I would have said like Funkus, Funkis.
Ooh.
Maybe. Like, because those are the kinds of like little weird sort of like barely phonetically sound name puns that we've seen a lot from Pokemon. But anyway, as its name suggests, the wood-eating fungus has historically been used to catch a spark for fire, so it has also been incorporated into clothing and used for medicine. Now it could have a whole new level of usefulness as a biodegradable alternative to plastics, thanks to the way that this species, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that, is put together. Let's see. There are root-like networks that spread through soil or rotting material. Okay, where's the plastics? Hang on a second. Three layers. Nope. Okay, here's, I guess, the science textbook interpretation of it, I suppose. But let's see. I'm trying to find I actually have to do a little bit of reading here to try to find where this thing is actually. Describing how this is possible to be made into plastic. Well, before we even get there, AJ, what are your thoughts on this, like at a concept level? Like, can you think of anything in your life that you use plastic derived sort of like products for that this would be useful for, or that you wouldn't trust how this is made?
Well, I would probably trust it as like a alternative for like plastic bags at the grocery store. But when it comes to like my plastic toothbrush or something, I don't think I can guarantee I'd enjoy having that like anywhere near the inside of my body.
But I can definitely agree with that. Yeah, there's like a certain point where, especially in this technology's infancy, let's see. So, all right, well, I guess I'll just go ahead and read off this for the purposes of the audio podcast version of this. What is found to be extraordinary is that with minimal changes in their cell morphology and extracellular polymeric composition, they formulate diverse materials with, oh my goodness, this is this is complicated science terminology. It's hard to read. Let's see. But distinct performances that surpass most natural and human-made materials that are usually confronted by property trade-offs. Okay, so it looks like they're basically saying the way that this is able to be manufactured based on the biological and cellular properties of this fungus, usually the manufacturing process of plastic, the normal way, has a lot of unfortunate sort of side waste materials and stuff like that, that it's not really quite as ideally makeable, basically. And those issues, it seems, are to a certain extent reduced, if not negated, by going this route. It almost reminds me of the idea of using hemp as a substitute for paper.
Oh, that's right. They have been thinking about doing that.
Yeah. So I'm really intrigued by that. But that being said, yeah, I'm with you, AJ. I'm not putting a fungus derived toothbrush in my mouth.
Oh yeah.
I don't. This may be a Tinder mushroom, but I'm gonna go ahead and swipe left on that idea, and we'll go ahead and move on from there. So once again, we're doing weird news headlines live right here on Weekend Showcase. Thanks so much for watching and for smashing that like button and notification bell. Let's move on to more subject material right now. This comes to us from the Associated Press. New York City thieves stealing Apple headphones off of victims' heads. Good grief. Okay, at least 21 people in New York City have had their fancy Apple headphones stolen right off their heads by a roving team of moped-riding bandits. The theft started on January 28th and have typically involved four people on two mopeds riding up to victims from behind, snatching their Apple AirPods Max headphones, and then speeding off. Those noise-canceling devices currently retail for $549 a piece. Skipping ahead a bit, five headphones were stolen on February 8th, eight were taken on February 18th. The thieves remain at large, and no arrests have been made. Okay, AJ, your first thoughts.
I mean, you got to think, who is the mastermind behind this idea? I mean, it's like, I bet you that they have a leader named Johnny Bad Appleseed. I mean, this right here is just, it's amazing. I mean, if a guy steals my Apple headphones off my head, I mean, I'm hunting him down, you know. I'm going to the shelter, getting some hunting dogs or something, making sure I band all my friends together. We become like a literal city watch looking out for these guys.
Ugh. Okay, so you're gonna bring together your elite crew to like pull off a job or something, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like tracking them down or something? I don't know. I was trying to pitch a movie in my head right then, but then I just realized the more that I thought about it just now, the more that I realized the more fascinating movie would probably be from the perpetrator's perspective than from the vigilante's perspective.
Yeah.
Probably. I mean, they just sort of ran the pitch actually right in the story, actually. It's four people on two mopeds riding up to people from behind, snatching headphones off of their heads. I mean what kind of story would have to happen to like make go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, what's their end goal? I mean, stealing
probably
it, yes.
eBay.
Are they reselling it or
yeah.
building something?
Yeah, I don't know, probably eBay. And then the story's going into some more descriptions about the AirPods at a product level, which we don't need to do. Everybody knows what these headphones are. But yeah, this is crazy. No arrests have been made, it said, and the thieves remain at large. Okay, so I guess if you're in the New York area, I guess make sure that you've got those, you've got something like, you know, a little bit less valuable on your head if you're like using headphones in the subway or something like that, or, you know, out waiting for the bus. I don't know, whatever, walking along. I don't know. Probably not in the subway. Probably not going to have a lot of people getting their headphones snatched off by people riding mopeds while they're inside the subway. I'm not sure that's going to be necessarily happening there. Anyway, let's move on. All right, next item is also from the Associated Press. Pay per chew. I see what you did there. More restaurants trying subscription programs. This is fascinating to me. This is good. Consumers are willing to pay monthly subscription fees for streaming services, pet food, and even toilet paper. And now some restaurants are betting they'll do the same for their favorite meals. I'm going to time out right there. How big is your house that, like, under what circumstances do you need to hit up Amazon for the subscribe and save option on toilet paper?
That's actually a really good question. I didn't even know that kind of thing existed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's... Probably Walmart Plus might have a thing or two about that sort of thing as well, where you order a specific product, usually in sort of bulk size, and then you sort of place an order for it with your credit card on file or whatever, and like periodically at preset periods of time, it automatically hits your card again for that same purchase at certain increments, like after, you know, 3 months, after 6 months or whatever, basically you hit the card again automatically for however much it costs to order however many that you need at that given point in time. So I guess if you work in hospitality or maybe the food service industry or I don't know, pet care or something like that, where you run through a lot of product, you know, a lot of disposable product on a consistent basis, I can see that being useful. But on an individual level, good grief. I don't know. Toilet paper? Large chains like Panera and PF Chang's, no judgment though. Large chains like Panera and PF Chang's, as well as neighborhood hangouts, are increasingly experimenting with a subscription model as a way to ensure steady revenue and customer visits. Some offer unlimited drinks or free delivery for a monthly fee. Others will bring out your favorite appetizer each time you visit. Okay, here's something. The average American juggled 6.7 subscriptions in 2022, up from 4.2 in 2019, according to Rocket Money, which is a personal finance app. Okay. And it's talking about the Gravitas Supper Club, which apparently it costs $130 a month.
Jeez. I like food, and but not that much.
A 3-course takeout meal for two is what that does. So for $130 a month.
Okay, that makes a little more sense.
I mean, presuming that it delivers, you know, more than once a week. You know, like, wait a minute, $130 for two people to eat, like, that costs way less to just go out to the actual restaurant, you know.
Yeah,
presuming someone doesn't order the lobster, right?
Or caviar. I don't know.
Caviar, yeah. Oh god, don't get me started with that. Anyway, all right, so are there any restaurants like mom and pop level? We're gonna try not to, like, you know, say anything about like chain stores and stuff like that, but have you been to any like sort of small scale restaurants that you think you would do a subscription service for?
Let's see. That's actually a really good question. Most of the places I go are like chains, although I would make a subscription to this place near my campus called Teriyaki Madness. It's not necessarily a chain, but they do have a few restaurants, only one here in Virginia, and it's I would subscribe heavily for that.
Nice. Cool. Well, I guess, what was the name? Teriyaki Madness, you said?
Yeah.
Well, I guess if you guys are watching, I guess you all should probably get on the subscription model. You clearly have at least one customer willing to fork down the money. I guess we'll have to sort of see what they decide to put down as far as the cost, if they actually wind up taking that path. I don't know if you can see yourself spending $130 a month on this, but...
I mean, that's how much I pay for the gym.
Really? Well, I mean, hey, you gotta, I guess, this is a dumb joke. I was gonna say you gotta put those calories back on after you work them off, but...
I mean, yeah.
Never mind. Let's forget that. We'll swipe left on that and the Tinder mushrooms from earlier. Okay, let's move on. Next item on the docket. This is from Associated Press via Wavy 10, which is our NBC affiliate here in Virginia. Police say crypto mining operation found in school crawl space.
Wow.
Okay. Let's see. A former employee of a Massachusetts town is facing charges of allegedly setting up a secret cryptocurrency mining operation in a remote crawl space at a school, police said. Nadiem Nahas, 39, was scheduled to be arraigned Thursday on charges of fraudulent use of electricity and vandalizing a school, but he did not show up, and a judge issued a default warrant after rejecting a defense motion to reschedule, a spokesperson for the Norfolk District Attorney's Office said. Okay, so, AJ, you into crypto at all?
Not really. I mean, I hear a lot about it from, like, various YouTubers, and even some of my customers at GNC have spoken about crypto from time to time, but me personally, I've got no interest in it.
That's your day job?
Yeah.
I guess the gym you work at is sort of like near there probably then.
Yep. And nice. My school and, you know, my house. Nice, so nice, it's all nice. Convenient.
Nice. Cool. But so, all right. Based on what you've heard about crypto, though, I mean, this just strikes me as just a move out of pure, raw, crazy desperation, basically, to sort of get rich. It's so weird how, like, when this technology first came out, the implication was that this was a new form of get rich quick. Sort of thing, basically. If you're an early adopter who understands the technology and has the capability to be able to do this consistently, you can come away with a lot. But it's like, I don't know. I feel like this isn't even sort of worth diving into too much, because I don't want anything that's said in the course of discussing this topic to be construed as fake news or anything like that. But it's like, I'm just floored by this particular headline, you know, that it's like, how can someone like think it's a good idea to do this, you know? I don't know. This I mean, strikes me as more bizarre and unnecessary than weird. Go ahead, AJ.
I mean, I was gonna say that. I mean, schools have had some weird clubs in the past, but I mean, this one kind of takes the cake.
Now, that's actually, yeah, that's another thing. Like, what if could there be a crypto club at this school? And like, and whoever did this, that this person just like stole a bunch of equipment basically, and then sort of piggybacked on top of the, like, knowing full well that the data what is it, what am I trying to describe, I'm sorry,
server?
Not the server, excuse me, the data usage of the school is already expected to be really high anyway, you know, so it's like,
yeah,
maybe that's why they did this. I don't know, but anyway, If y'all are curious about this or any of the other topics that we're discussing tonight, feel free to check the description at the bottom of this video here on YouTube or on our Facebook version. We also have the all the topics that we're covering listed there as well. Once again, you're watching Weird News right here on Weekend Showcase, streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and Twitter. Thanks so much for watching and smashing that like button and notification bell. We have 4 topics left to go. Let's go ahead and roll right into whoa. Oh, okay, geez. This is a video here. Crocodile jumps high in the air to catch a drone.
Wow!
I guess this is some, I don't know, are we filming another Lake Placid? I don't know what else to make of this. Let's see. Drones are what we know what drones are. The video shows a drone hovering over a water body as the curious crocodile can be seen following it. Da-da-da-da-da. As the drone came close to the water body, the croc suddenly jumped in the air and tries to get hold of it in its mouth. However, the drone escapes from the attack. This video was shared on Twitter. Let's see here. Do we have a link here? Yes, we do.
Ooh, this I have to see.
Here we go. I'm just going to go ahead and pull up this tweet right now.
Croc's gone crazy. This is amazing.
Okay, this was posted by @reach_anupam. Anupam? I'm not sure how to pronounce that. I apologize. But here's the video. Whoa!
Ooh.
One more time. Ah, man. Come on. No, I don't want notifications on this. All right. Hang on. Here we go. Wow, that was close. I didn't even think it was possible for... Hang on, let me go ahead.
Oh, me neither.
Pause this in the right place. Hang on. Okay, there we go. That is some serious verticality right there. I low-key expect this croc to show up at the NBA draft with that kind of leap. Like, really? AJ, what are your thoughts on this?
I'm just saying that this is a lot scarier when you really think about it. Imagine if we were like cavemen during this era, and maybe one of us finally pulled a Wright Brothers and were flying by and a crocodile dinosaur pulled a move like this, you'd be terrified.
We still have those Komodo dragons.
Wait, really?
Yeah, if I remember right, I think it's the Komodo dragon is the species that managed to is the species that still managed to get through, you know, K2 extinction and all these other world events. Oh, comment from Brain Spaz. I had no idea crocodiles could jump out of the water like that. Neither did us. Yeah, apparently this one can. Or neither did we. That was terrible
that
grammar.
Is terrifying.
Yeah. Stop it. All right. But yeah, this is man, I can totally imagine. You know what? Another thing I'm thinking of is did you ever see the movie Meet Dave? This was an Eddie Murphy film from like 2007 maybe? 2008.
I did. Yeah.
So I'm thinking of like one of those like Lilliput-sized people basically in a drone ship that's narrowly chomped by one of the like imagine the utter chaos happening inside of that little ship at this exact moment.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
They're screaming their heads off.
Exactly. Good grief. Anyway, that's crazy. We're definitely putting this under the wow category for tonight. Let's move on. Next topic, we have three more to go. Missing cat reunited with owner after 9 years in Virginia. Hey, this one's local. Let's see. So this is an Instagram post here. Authorities in Virginia said a cat missing for 9 years was reunited with her owner after showing up on a local resident's porch. Enrico County Police said in a Facebook post that its animal protection unit dispatched an animal protection officer on Tuesday when a local resident called to report a stray cat had taken up residence on their porch and was refusing to leave. Aww. Officer brought the cat back to the county shelter where the feline was scanned for a microchip and identified as Piper, a cat reported missing 9 years earlier. Okay, so how did this cat manage to survive undiscovered for almost a decade?
Not sure, but all I know is those 9 lives really came in handy.
I bet they sure did. Are you a cat person or a dog person?
Well, I'm allergic to cats, and I also think cats are jerks.
Let's get this off screen. Sorry about that. anyway, yeah, no. Go ahead.
Yeah, I sometimes think cats are jerks, so I'm more of a dog kind of person myself.
Fair enough. Yeah, I have a dog currently, but I've had cats before. Usually I prefer cats, but I've warmed to dogs in recent years, so we're sort of simpatico there. Just not from an allergic sort of sense, though, so that's kind of a distinction there. Let's see. Brain Spaz. Cat was off on an adventure. Finally decided to go home. So, Homeward Bound 3, maybe?
Hey, that seems to be the case.
Like a third of the topics that we've been talking about tonight could be movies, basically. Maybe that comes from watching too many movies.
Yeah. Okay,
I don't know. But anyway, so good that Piper has found her way home, and the story has a happy ending. Let's move on. We have two topics left for. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just agreeing with you. It's a wholesome story.
Exactly, wholesome. Let's go ahead and move on here. Next topic is also from UPI. Mississippi Lego Club outfits injured turtle with new wheels. Okay. We do not have a photograph of that. Well, let's try and read this through here. A Mississippi box turtle that lost its back legs is getting around on his own again thanks to a set of wheels custom built by a team of young Lego enthusiasts. The turtle, named Lieutenant Dan, in honor of the legless character from Forrest Gump. I shouldn't laugh at that, because there are real veterans who deal with that sort of disability handicap. Like, that's not funny, but it's, yeah.
It's not funny.
Say again?
I was quoting that meme, you know, it's not funny, but it is.
I know. In this context, it's a little amusing. The turtle was brought to the Central Mississippi Turtle Rescue in September after losing his back legs due to being hit by a car.
Jeez.
How in the world does it... Wait a minute. Okay, I'm no expert on turtle physiology. Okay. How does a turtle get hit by a car in such a way that the back legs specifically, which stick out on either side of the back, are rendered, like, unusable, but A, the turtle is still alive, and B, there's enough of the rest of the shell to be sort of salvageable in this way.
See, this is why photos are helpful.
I mean, let's see. Hang on a second. Well, okay, this is a Facebook post. Let's see if this is, let's see if this will let us actually take a look at this. Here we are. Okay.
Okay. So the shell was damaged.
Yeah. And yeah, there's some little like, they put some wheels and an axle underneath that. It would be hilarious if they put like a little like a suspension, you know, it's sort of like with the remote, you could just hit it and it's then the rear wheels sort of hop up and down. Like this is what happens when Sheldon over here has just got out of Los Santos customs, apparently, with a custom job.
Raphael and Mikey are spinning right now.
Exactly. Anyway, all right, cool. So there's another animal story that has a happy ending, clearly. Let's see. The first Lego League in DeSoto County, which is comprised of school children ages 9 to 14, took on the task of restoring Lieutenant Dan's mobility. The team worked for 2 hours to assemble Lego pieces into a sturdy wheelchair for the turtle. Let's see. First Lego League member River DeHaven said being able to let the turtle go outside and enjoy itself was definitely a good feeling. Aww. So there you go. Ms. D says he was walking so his little legs were out and got run over. Well, yeah, logically, yes, yeah. Ms. D, but I don't know. I guess I'm just sort of thinking of, like, the legs are always underneath the shell, pretty much, right?
Yeah.
So, like, the whole rest of the shell on the way to the legs would have to be flattened, I think, in order to actually... That's an unpleasant part of the subject to even really talk about and put too much thought energy into, probably. Let's go ahead and move on from this. This story has a happy ending. Lieutenant Dan has his chair, and we can go ahead and move on from this, I think, to the last topic. Unless any final thoughts on this, AJ, before we move on?
I'm just saying I'm happy he's got his legs back, but giving the task to some 9 to 14-year-olds, I don't know, you know. I mean, if I needed, like, an operation, like I just lost my arm, I don't think I would trust my 9-year-old little sister to fix that kind of problem. But, you know, that's just me.
Well, I mean, fair enough. Luckily, this particular situation, this particular operation is significantly lower stakes to be able to bear that risk. And it has a happy ending, like we said. So let's move on. We have one more before the top of the hour here. Let's see. This is from National Public Radio. She left her 2007 iPhone in its box for over a decade. It just sold for $63,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Okay. So when Karen Green got a new job in 2007, some of her friends pitched in to buy her a brand new iPhone. And while hundreds of thousands of Americans clamored to get their hands on the first version of the revolutionary, as Apple correctly predicted, smartphone, Green wasn't one of them, in part because she had upgraded her new non-smart phone not long before and reportedly didn't want to switch from Verizon to AT&T. Green told the daytime television program The Doctor and the Diva in 2019, quote, "I didn't want to get rid of my new not-smart phone, and I figured it's an iPhone, so it'll never go out of date," end quote. In 2019, when this interview took place, apparently it was during the same month that Apple unveiled the iPhone 11. So, Green kept the first generation 8-gigabyte phone sealed in the box. 8 gigs in the whole phone.
Jeez, that's so small.
I can't even imagine. I can't imagine a phone having less than, say, I don't know, 32.
64. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, 64. Yeah, but it's like, man, it's hard to picture that at this point. I don't know. Maybe just we're in 2023 and we're all kind of spoiled at this point. But anyway, yeah. Let's see. The results of an online... Oh, wait, sorry. Green kept the first generation phone sealed in the box, realizing as the years went on that a collector might come to find it valuable. Her hunch was confirmed when appraisers on the show, Doctor and the Diva, estimated it at $5,000. But the results of an online auction shattered all expectations this weekend when Green's iPhone sold for $63,356.40, over 100 times more than its original cost, and more than any vintage iPhone before it. Wow. So, if you had that kind of money, would you, like, AJ, where are you? Like, iPhone or Android?
Well, currently I have an Android, but I'm trying to upgrade to an iPhone.
So, mostly
'cause, yeah.
Okay, well, All right, sorry. Let me go ahead and like restructure this question a bit.
All right.
What was your first smartphone?
It was a Samsung.
Okay, well, you've always had Androids then, I guess it sounds like, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So would you if you had still had that first Samsung Android in box, over all these years, do you think you would try to sell it, or would you sort of hold on to it for the nostalgia significance of it?
Well, that's actually kind of a tough one. On one hand, there's some money that I could try to use to pay off some student loans, should I ever build them. Now, on the other hand, nostalgia is always important. And I got that phone back when I was in like 8th grade. So, I mean, if I find a way to take the stuff off the phone, I would keep that and then just kind of give the phone off.
Okay. So what about for your first iPhone? Like looking ahead, 10 years, 20 years. It's not like the first iPhone, obviously. Like we're far removed from this 2007 sort of significance. But once you actually get that first iPhone, is any part of you gonna want to try to sell that or like hold on to the significance of it?
When it comes to the iPhone, I'm probably definitely going to try to keep that for the significance. You know, because I've been saying for years to my friends, like, guys, I'm so going to upgrade to an iPhone. And then they're like, yeah. Because every time I decide to do it, something comes up, can't get it. So, I
How much of
mean,
a
with
hard time do they usually?
that,
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, with that, you know, definitely got to keep it for the significance to always show my friends, like, yeah, guys, I eventually got it. We don't need to hark on it anymore.
That was going to be my next question. Like, how much of a hard time do they give you about that? Like, do they sort of say, "Hey, AJ, I'm going to FaceTime you later." Oh, that's right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's exactly what they're like too. Like, oh yeah, man, did you get the message from the group chat? Oh right, you're not in the iMessage chat. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So.
Oh yeah, I did get a message in the other chat, but it came through on a green bubble. I tend to disregard green bubble messages, so I don't know.
Yeah.
It's nothing personal. It came through on it was a green chat bubble, and I just I don't
Yep, they're
bleh.
just like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, seems like kind of a generational thing for the most part, but I don't know. Do you have any last thoughts on that?
Honestly, I'm happy that that phone really came through for her in the future.
Ditto. Slightly jealous, but ditto.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so let's go ahead and shut this thing down. We're down to that was the end of our topic list, basically, but we have a couple more things to get through before we actually formally shut this down for the night. Starting with favorite topics. What were your favorite topics of the night? Or do you have a single favorite topic that stood apart basically from the rest, AJ?
Let's see. Definitely the Apple Bandits, the Apple Bottom Bandits, that's what I like to call them, and the helicopter. Those two definitely stuck out to me the most.
Okay. Why? Or well, which if you had to pick one, which one would it be and why?
Probably the helicopter.
Okay.
It's such a ridiculous idea. And honestly, it's super dangerous. It's like trying to reinvent the Wright brothers. And I mean, look at that thing. That thing is I can't even imagine. I can't fathom how you could even control it. And those propellers, they don't really look that safe to me.
Not to mention, look at this rendering. Like, the guy's totally hands-free. Was this designed by Tesla? Like, and how much do you trust an artificial intelligence, internet connected, flying apparatus that you're putting your life into? That's another thing.
Exactly. There's no doors either.
Oh yeah, you just it's to be able to like sort of get a good sort of sense of your surroundings, the ambiance of being, dozens of feet, maybe hundreds of feet in the air, and it's like, oh no, my phone fell out, like that sort of thing. I could
Yeah.
totally see that happening. Anyway, let's see. I'm trying to think what my favorite one honestly would be, probably. You know what? I want to say I want to say that the fungus one would probably be my favorite one of the night, just for the I've brought this up before, basically how much I kind of have a soft spot for scientific topics that have at the very least a framework for some semblance of positive productivity, basically, and helping to solve world problems. You know, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, like fossil fuels, if I'm not mistaken, are involved in the production of plastic, and that stuff is sometimes it's really hard to recycle. You know, there's a lot of places right here in Virginia that don't straight up take most forms of plastic for recycling purposes. So, you know, anything that can be, you know, that can be an efficient alternative to that in a way that's more, at the very least, more recyclable, or best case scenario, outright biodegradable or compostable, I'm going to swipe right on that in like in an instant. So definitely want to go ahead and give special props to the Tinder fungus. Not a joke. That's literally the name of this thing, the Tinder fungus. I want to make that abundantly clear. This is not dad joke of the day when I say that. But anyway, so that's our favorite topics for the week, which is probably a good segue to the actual next move that we're going to make here, which is dad joke of the day, which I'm going to need to get this off camera here and fix this perspective for me to move a little bit off camera to go ahead and grab my tablet. Forgive me. I had to go ahead and get that for one
go for
here,
it.
Which I think is right here. There it is. I got it. Okay. This is the one thing I forgot to actually set up for this particular show tonight. So, dad joke of the day, which comes to us from our good friends at Google, basically. Let's see. I think we have... Yeah, we have 20 minutes left, but don't worry, it's not going to take 20 minutes to go ahead and pull this up. I just got to load this document up here. Okay, so dad joke of the day. I think we're going to go ahead and let's do two tonight. You want to do two dad jokes?
Oh, yeah. I love dad jokes.
Nice. All right. So let's go ahead and load into one here. I'm going to pull this up really quickly. Say again?
I was going to say dad jokes are apparently funny to me.
Oh, well, then you're going to get a kick out of this. All right, here we are. So, check this out. I tried to start a professional hide-and-seek team, but it didn't work out. Turns out, good players are hard to find.
It's
Control with the slow clap.
Ah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Control. All right. You can stop. Thank you. So, let's see. Nope. Where is it? Oh, okay. Well, I don't know if this counts as a... This doesn't really count as a dad joke. I'm not going to read that. Sorry. All right, here we are. Lance isn't that common a name these days. Lance isn't that common a name these days. But in medieval times, they were called Lance a lot. Yeah. That one was a little cringe. But it's a chuckle.
It was a good one.
It's a chuckle. It's passable. You know what? We have plenty of time. I'm just gonna do one more. Hang on a second. Oh, here's a good one. Here's a good pun. All right.
Go for it.
A cop started crying while he was writing me a ticket. I asked him why, and he said, "It's a moving violation." There we go. Rimshot. Awesome. All right,
beautiful.
We got that. Nice. All right, cool. So hang on a second. There we go. So that's basically going to wrap it up for this particular episode of Showcase for the week ending Sunday, February 26, 2023. Thanks so much for watching and for smashing that like button and notification bell. My name's Don. With me tonight was...
AJ. Nice to meet you all.
Awesome. Thanks once again for joining me tonight. And be sure to tune in this time, not at this time, actually, but this time next week will be the same time anyway for Weird News. And we'll be back this coming Friday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 Pacific for another brand new episode of Weekend Showcase. Maybe we'll have a game stream. Maybe we'll be reacting to some trailers. Maybe an interview. Maybe something else entirely. Who knows? Just make sure that you're following us on all our socials at Weekend Showcase. And we'll be posting some notifications and alerts about that in the very near term. And until then, enjoy the rest of your weekend and have a safe and productive week. There you go. Closing theme. All right. Good night. Thanks for watching.